wonderful to sing of heaven, isn't it? That place where our treasures and hope are laid. We're glad you're here with us. Appreciate each one who's in our midst. Our only appeal here is to the truth. As the Lord said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so we invite you to get your book in hand, the Bible, the Word of God, the truth, that you might read and study with us. When you begin to read the Bible, you'll come across the term door a good number of times. It's used by the Holy Spirit to teach us some good lessons that we need to know. And so I'm calling our attention today to some Bible doors. In Proverbs chapter 26 and in verse 14, the Bible says, "As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed." And so you can be impressed with the fact that the Bible does talk about doors. When you think about the door upon its hinges, let me call your attention to some different doors of the Bible. The first door that I suggest to us is the ark door. When you go back to the book of Genesis in chapter 6, you find that man had corrupted his way upon the earth before God. Things got so bad that the Lord decided to bring an end. He told Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. I will destroy them with the earth." And he commissioned Noah to make an ark to the saving of his house. And in those specifications, the divine blueprint for the construction of the ark, the Lord said in verse 16, "The door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof." If someone were to ask you, how many doors did the ark have? Would you know the answer to that? The ark had but one door, as the pattern called for the door of the ark, but one means of entrance into the ark. There's a movie released not too long ago about Noah. Maybe you heard about it. Perhaps you saw it. That portrayed Noah as shutting the door. Did you know that was inaccurate? Noah did not shut the door of the ark. You know who did? The Lord did. In Genesis chapter 7 and in verse 16, the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut the door. As you think about the fact that the ark had but one door, but one way of entrance into it, that's the way it is with the church. As the ark was the place of salvation, few were saved therein. 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. The saved are in the church. Christ is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5:23, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Acts 2 and verse 47. And there's but one means of entrance into that. And that's as we're baptized into it. 1 Corinthians 12 and in verse 13. But as you think about Bible doors, not only does the Bible talk about the ark door, let me suggest another Bible door, and that is the tent door. That is the door of Abraham's tent. Have you thought about this tent door? Another door story in the book of Genesis. Over in chapter 18. The Bible says, "The Lord appeared unto him," that's Abraham, "in the plains of Mamre, and he sat," notice where he sat, "in the tent door," there's your Bible door, "in the heat of the day." Here's a man that's sitting in the tent door. He lifts up his eyes and looked, and what do you see? Three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. As you read on about this tent door story, you'll find that his tent door was open to these strangers, these guests. He said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I'll fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and they did eat. Notice the hospitality that was shown with this open tent door. If you had been Abraham and Sarah, would your tent door have been open to these people? Or would you have had a closed tent door? If you'd seen these fellas stop by, would you have extended the hospitality that they did? Would you have ran to meet them? Would you have bowed yourself toward them? Would you have said, Let a little water be fetched? Would you have said, Wash your feet, rest yourselves? Would you have said, I'll fetch a morsel of bread? Would you have gone into the tent and said to your wife, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, make cakes upon the hearth? Would you have gone to the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and given it to young men to dress it? Would you have taken butter and milk and the calf and set it before them? He did quite a bit, didn't he? Would you have done that? Would our tent door have been open? You know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 2, Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares or unknowingly. And this is to be shown toward the Lord's people. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. I like what Job was able to say in Job 31 and verse 32. He said, The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. How about our doors? Are they open in that way? But as you make your study of Bible doors, I want to talk to you just a few moments about the door the Lord passed over. When you hear that expression, the door the Lord passed over, does that ring a bell? It ought to, with those who are familiar with the book of Exodus, when the Lord's people were in Egyptian bondage, and they got to crying to the Lord for help. He heard their cries, saw the distress that they were in, and he called Moses out of a burning bush to bring forth his people out of Egyptian bondage. After 9 plagues, there was one final one that would cause Pharaoh to let the people go. Remember what that plague was? The death of the firstborn. All the firstborn in the land of Egypt would die. But God made a provision for his people to be rescued, to be saved, to be delivered from that curse. And chapter 12 in the book of Exodus talks about that. It involves what's called the Passover. And there was an animal connected with that. Remember what that animal was? A lamb. Not just any lamb, but it was specific. It had to be a lamb of a male, right? Without blemish. Had to be a year of the first year. Exodus 12 and verse 5. And when they would kill the lamb on the 14th day in the evening, they'd take of the blood and put it on the doorpost, the side post, the upper post called the lintel. And the Lord said, When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Exodus chapter 12 and in verse 13. Notice verse 7. Ye shall take of the blood and strike it on the 2 side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And then in verse 22, ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the 2 side posts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and the 2 side posts, listen, the Lord will pass over the door. That's where I get this point about the door the Lord passed over. And will not suffer the destroyer to come in under your houses to smite you. And so God made provision for his people to be saved from the death of the firstborn by putting the blood on the door and staying in the house. The Lord said, I see the blood, I'll pass over. That's how this memorial got its name, as the Lord's Passover. He passed over that house. And so it shows how God's made provision for salvation, and he's always put that provision or that blessing in something or in somewhere, and here it was placed in a house. You had to be in the house if you wanted to be saved. And if you want to be saved today, we've got to be in the Lord's house, which is his church. And so the door the Lord passed over. Let me think quickly about another Bible door. And that is, the Bible talks about the door of my lips. Did you know that you have a door with you today? Did you know your lips are referred to as a door? They are. Turn with me now to the book of Psalms, a collection of writings that find their place in the poetry department of the Bible library. And in Psalm 141, in verse 3, listen to these words. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. That's not like a wristwatch. Kind of like a guard. To be aware of what you say. Listen to these words. Keep the door of my lips. You thought about that? When you open your lips, it's like opening a door. Close your mouth, it's like a shut door. I got to thinking about this door, this Bible door of my lips. You know, I need to think about having a watch before that. That is, kind of being on guard as to when this door is open. You know, there's some doors that are guarded. Right? This is a door that needs to be guarded, needs to be watched and protected. And it's a door that doesn't need to be opened too much. You know, sometimes there's a problem with the door being opened too much. Like in the book of Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, when the Bible says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Some people just talk too much. You know anybody like that? In Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 3, the Bible says, a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known. You know how a fool's voice is known? The Bible says, by a multitude of words. Think about that. A multitude of words. And then, in the book of Matthew chapter 15 and verse 11, as you think about keeping the door of your lips, have you thought about the fact that what comes out of this door can defile you? In Matthew 15, the Lord said in verse 11, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man. You know, some people thought that it's what went in the mouth. That's what made you unclean. The Lord said, no, it's not that way. But that which cometh out of the mouth, that's what defiles a man. And they really didn't understand what that was about. The Lord said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not yet understand? Verse 17, that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, where do they come from? Out of the heart. You see, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. They defile the man. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile the man. So I need to be on guard as to what comes out of this, don't I? I need to set a watch, like the psalmist said. When you think about this door, did you know that we're bound by what comes out of this door? You remember that statement made in the book of Deuteronomy 23 and in verse 23, that which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform. Remember Jephthah, when his door was opened? He said, if you'll deliver the children of Ammon into my hand, then whatever comes out of my door, his house door. He'd offer it as a burnt offering. He had the door of his lips open. And the Bible says he did with her according to the vow which he had made. You know, we're going to be judged by what comes through this door. Out of those things, we're going to be judged according to Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So the Bible talks about the door of your lips. I need to think about what the Bible says about it. There's some things that may come out of this door that ought not be, like lying. We saw that this morning, didn't we? When a young man by the name of Micah lied to his mother about some shekels of silver he had taken. And he finally fessed up and he restored those to her. Some people have a problem with lying, not telling the truth. Remember two people that lied and died in the New Testament, then were carried and buried? Ananias and Sapphira. They sold a piece of property, they lied about it, and they died over it. Lying can cost you, can't it? And yet there are people that lie and they don't think anything about it. They think there's different degrees or kinds of lies. Some aren't as bad as another. Just like a little white lie. John said all liars, black, white, red, and yellow, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21:8. That takes in all colors, shapes, forms, and fashions, doesn't it? Lying. Some people have trouble with gossip coming out of these lips. The door's open. Keep their neighbors up to date on all the current events. Like one lady talking to the lady across the fence. Said, don't ask me any more about this because I've told you already more than I heard myself. Some people are like that. They kind of make it up as they go. You know, the Bible says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. And he that is of a faithful spirit, you know what he does? He conceals the matter. Some people think they've got to tell everybody they know everything they know about everything and everybody they know. We don't have to do that, do we? If you want me to know something, or you want somebody to know something, you probably tell them right. I don't have to be a brotherhood informant. Right? You know, the Bible talks about minding your own business, doesn't it? Study to do your own business. There's a little something that's said about that. If you mind your own business, you won't be minding mine or everybody else's. You know, some people become busybodies in other men's matters. And we don't be that way. Gossip, tale-bearing, that's a problem. It ought not come out of this door. What about slander? Evil speaking. Love speaketh no evil. Love thinketh no evil. And so that ought not come out of this door. What are some things that ought to come out of this door? I tell you, one of the greatest things that can come out of the door of your lips is when you say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Those words come out of your door. Like came out of the door of the lips of the Ethiopian in Acts 8 and verse 37. When you teach these truths that are contained in this book, teaching others, 2 Timothy 2:2, that's great words that come out of this door. But as you make your study of Bible doors, there's a fifth one I want to talk to you about. And that is when the Bible from time to time describes a shut door. I think with you, first of all, in connection with the shut door from Matthew chapter 6, when the Lord gave the model prayer. Sometimes it's called the Lord's Prayer, but it's not the Lord's Prayer. He wasn't actually praying. He was teaching his disciples how to pray. And before he gave what's called the model prayer, he taught them a little lesson about motives in prayer. Some were hypocritical. They prayed with the wrong intent or the motive. They were praying to be seen of men, to be heard of men. He said in Matthew 6, 5, when thou prayest. By the way, he didn't say if you pray. If you may or may not. He kindly assumed that they would be a praying people. He said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be. You know there's some shout nots when it comes to prayer. Do you know the rules governing prayer? You shalt not be as the hypocrites are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. And so you can't pray in the synagogue, right? You can't pray on the corner of the street. No, that's not what he's saying. He's not saying that there's places where you ought not pray. His point is, you ought not pray to be seen of men. If you're praying on the corner of the street to be seen of men, he said, you might as well go where? Enter into your closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, here's your shut door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It's a good lesson about prayer, isn't it? Let me ask you, is your door shut that way? Have you shut your door to pray to the Father in secret that he might hear you and reward you openly? Good lesson about prayer. Another occasion where we read of a shut door is in Matthew chapter 25. We read about a parable the Lord told of 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. The difference, one word, ready. 5 ready and 5 were not. At midnight, there's a midnight scene. What were you doing at midnight? Well, at midnight, the bridegroom came. The voice said, go out to meet him. Those that were ready went in. What about those that weren't? They didn't have oil. They said, wait a minute, we're not ready. We need to go and find some oil. They went to buy oil. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And you know what happened? The door was shut. They were on the wrong side of the door. The ready people went in. They were inside. Those that were not ready were on the outside. Can you hear them knocking? Lord, Lord, open to us. What did he say to them? It's one of the saddest stories. Some sad words. He said, I know you not. You know, the Lord does not know those who are unprepared. He'll not know me. He'll not know you if we're unprepared to meet him. So the Lord said, as he made application of this in verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. He's using this little story to help us prepare and make ourselves ready for his second coming. He promised to come, John 14. He said, I'll come again. When he does, you know what's going to happen? The door of opportunity for you to be ready will shut. You might find yourself knocking. Let me in. Let me in, Lord. And he'll say, I know you not. Don't let that happen to you. You need to enter the door while you have the opportunity. And this little story shows that you can't buy preparation. Right? It's something that got to be made now while we have time. And so the Bible talks about a shut door. Shutting your closet door to pray, and the shut door of opportunity when the Lord comes. Another door the Bible talks about, number 6. And that is, the Bible describes a sheepfold door. Did you know that you're among a sheepfold today? Did you know there are sheep here? The Lord's church is set forth in different ways, different figures. Sometimes it's portrayed as an army. We're soldiers of Christ. 2 Timothy 2. Paul talked to Timothy about being a soldier and to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Christ is our captain. He gives the orders. We march by his command. The captain of our salvation, Hebrews 2:10 talks about. Sometimes the church is set forth not in that way, but as a bride. Christ is the husband. The church is the bride. We wear his name. We're in subjection to his headship. And the church is likened to a vineyard. It's a place of work. We're laborers hired into the vineyard. And then sometimes the church is represented as a sheepfold. That's why when Peter wrote to elders, he said, feed the flock of God which is among you. 1 Peter 5 and then verse 2. And Peter, or Paul rather, used that same word in Acts chapter 20, and then verse 28, when he met with the Ephesian elders, he talked about feeding the flock. We're flock. We're sheep. And Christ is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's referred to those three ways. And the sheepfold has a door. It has a way in. Would you like to be a part of the Lord's sheep? Would you like to be a part of His flock? Well, you've got to come through the door. In John 10, the Lord talked about that. He said in John 10, 1, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. You know how many doors the sheepfold has, by the way? Just one door. Did you notice that, verse 1? The door. He didn't talk about the doors, as if there are many different ways of entrance into this sheepfold, but the door. You know, there are those who've tried to climb in some other way. Some try to climb in by faith only. Some try to climb in by grace only. Some try to climb in by praying the sinner's prayer. Some try to climb in by thinking that God chose them unconditionally, without any choice on their part, without obedience. And on that goes. No, there's but one door. And you know who that is? Jesus said, I am the door. John 10, and then verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. You might connect that with that little statement he made in John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only door. And I need to learn that. A lot of people think there's all different ways to go to heaven. They think, you know, we're all going to the same place, just going different ways. Get here in your car and drive around and see how it works. Not all roads lead to the same place. I-70 West won't take you to the same place I-70 East goes. Right? You try that. Try to drive I-70 west and get to Indianapolis. Tell me how that works out for you. And there are those who think they can get on any road out here, join up with any church, subscribe to any faith, and they'll end up in heaven. You stand as good a chance of going to heaven that way as you would going to Indianapolis on I-70 west from here. Let me suggest to you another door. And that is, as you come to the New Testament again, the Bible talks about the door of faith, the faith door. You know, oftentimes the word door is used in the sense of opportunity. And that's how it's used in this particular reference in Acts 14 and in verse 27, the door of faith. The Bible says, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, it's one of the church gathering together occasions. They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened, what did He open? The door of faith unto the Gentiles. What's the story? It is in connection with Paul's preaching trip. Remember, he had three preaching trips. And he'd been sent out from one of the excellent churches of the New Testament, the church at Antioch. He comes back. And the church is gathered together and he's talking about his preaching trip. He's talking about the door of faith that God opened under the Gentiles. What's that about? The opportunity had been granted for the Gentiles to hear the gospel and believe. That's what that's about. The door of faith opened to the Gentiles was their opportunity to hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and obey it. You know, that when that door was first opened among the Gentiles, in Acts 10:11, when Peter was sent to Cornelius, a Gentile. And from there, opportunities grew for Gentiles to hear the gospel and to believe it and obey it. And you know what? That door's been opened to us. We're all Gentiles. I don't see any Jews among us today. You're a Gentile as much as I am. And we've been given the opportunity to hear the gospel and to believe it. Paul said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Somebody said, okay, Lord, Lord. I called on the name of the Lord. I'm going to be saved. No, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 7:20. And from Romans 10:14 through 17, I learned what it means. name of the Lord. He said, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who have not heard? And he said, they have not all obeyed the gospel. It takes hearing, believing, and obeying. And I've given that opportunity. Your faith has been opened to you. To hear it, to believe it, and obey it. We ought to thank God for it. We ought to enter that open door. By believing the gospel message. Let me give you another door the Bible talks about. And that is, oftentimes the Bible talks about an open door. Just like we talked about a shut door, there's an open door. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and in verse 9, Paul told the church of Corinth, a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. He's talking about Ephesus. He said, I'll tarry at Ephesus. I'll stay at Ephesus until Pentecost. Why? There was a great and unusual opportunity for the gospel in Ephesus. And any time there's a great opportunity for the gospel, there are going to be many adversaries. Not everybody is in favor of folks hearing the gospel. There are folks that are going to get in the way. Kind of like Elymas in Acts 13. When he withstood Paul and others, and who Paul was trying to teach the truth, and here's another fellow that got in the way. He was cantankerous. There are people like that. Here you're trying to sit down and teach somebody the truth, and you got somebody kind of gets in the middle of it and disturbs that. I've encountered that before. Maybe it's family members. Maybe it's some denominational preacher. Their pastor. That disturbs them. And on that occasion, this fellow was struck with divine pepper spray. Remember? There fell a mist upon him and he went about not being able to see. Some led him by the hand. Shows how the Lord feels about it. Those who get in the way of the truth being taught. And our chief adversary, remember who he is? The devil. As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking him he may devour. He never takes a vacation. He doesn't take a day off, does he? And he has lots of experience. He's been at that work for, you know how long? From the beginning. Ever since the Garden of Eden, when he told the first lie. He's a murderer, the Bible says. And so a door was open to Paul. He recognized that. And when we have an opportunity that's open to us to teach folks the truth, we need to see that. We need to recognize it. And we need to take advantage of it. On another occasion, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 12, Paul said, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Would you have gone through the door? Taking advantage of the opportunity? Another open door, Colossians chapter 4. And in verse 3, Paul said, praying for us. Paul, what do you want us to pray for you about? If you were a member of the church at Colossae, what would you be praying for this preacher? That God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. What's that about? He wanted the brethren to pray for him that God would open a door wherein he could utter, he could teach, he could talk and discuss what? The mystery of Christ. That's the gospel. Ephesians 3, 3 through 6. And that's a prayer that needs to be uttered and repeated today. We need to be a church like the church at Colossae, and that we're praying for a preacher like this church prayed for Paul, that a door of utterance would be opened, that opportunities would be granted whereby the gospel could be preached and folks would hear it. Pray that the Lord would put us into contact with an Ethiopian eunuch, a businesswoman like Lydia, right? Whose heart will be open to the truth. Folks like those in Corinth who were, but now are, washed and sanctified and justified. People like those in Ephesus who were without, but now are in. Because of the door being open. Now, like this statement made in the book of Revelation 3 and verse 8. in one of those fine letters written to early churches, when to the church at Philadelphia, it is said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. You know, when the Lord sets before you an open door, there's nobody that can shut it. And so, you've got to be impressed with the fact that the Bible often talks about doors. You might think about that when you do a little work on a door, or you open your door, shut your door. There was an ark door, just one, way into the ark. God shut him in. Would you have been in? Or would you have thought, you know, most of these people aren't getting in the ark. I think I'll stay out here. I'm going to go with the majority. What would have happened to you? Would your door be like Abraham's tent door? Have an open door to the guest to practice hospitality? Think about the door the Lord passed over. God's blessings are in. And I need to be in the place where God's blessings are, that I might be the recipient of those. Do you know your mouth is a door? The door of your lips. Need to be careful as to the use of it. There's a shut door. Go find a closet somewhere. Shut the door and pray. Talk to God in secret. We don't have to make a public display of prayer, do we? There's the sheepfold door. Are you in the sheepfold? Maybe there are sheep that have left the door. They've gotten out of the pen. There's some who are not here today because of that. They need to come home. There's the door of faith. Opportunity for folks to hear and believe the gospel. That door's open to you today. One of these days it's going to be shut. Will you be inside because you took advantage of it? You heard, believed, and obeyed? Or will you find yourself knocking? Lord, open. Open. And he'll say, I know you know. There's an open door. There's open doors every day, aren't there? There's opportunities for us to teach the truth. We need to take advantage of that, right? Maybe at work you might have an opportunity to ask a fellow, how long do you think this stick is? Right? Carry that with you? Maybe two or three guys around. I want to ask you guys something. How long do you think this little piece of wood is? Have your little notebook? Write that down. You know, I see we all have a problem here. We got all these different answers. They can't all be right, can they? How can we come out with the same answer? Why might I say measure? I got have a little tape measure in my pocket. Pull that out, measure. Let one of them measure. Get the measurement. Now ask them how long it is. They all come out with the same answer. Why the difference? So we agreed on a standard. That's the way it is in religion. You ask a question, you got all these different answers. We've got to find out what the standard is. We'll come out with the same answer. How about we get together and talk more about that? Let's find out what that standard is and find out the answer to our questions. Would you be interested in that? We'll get together. We'll come over. You can come to my house. We'll meet McDonald's, wherever you like to get together. In the library here. We'll talk about some of those things. Bring some of your friends if you want to. Bring your family. We'll chat about that. Opportunity. Right? And then finally, from Revelation 3 and verse 20. The Lord said, I stand at the door and knock. Have you heard him knocking? Did you know the Lord standing at the door of your heart knocking? He said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. The Lord is at the door knocking. Won't you let him in? You do that by hearing his word, believing it, and obeying it. Deciding to repent of your sins. You learn what's wrong and what's right. You want to quit the wrong and do the right. You confess with your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will take you to a place of water and baptize you. The Lord said, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. That's how you enter the sheepfold. And you're added to the church. Acts 2:47. Become a part of God's family. God's your father. He will be your brothers and sisters. And there will be others around this world. He'll help bear your burdens. And you have reserved in heaven a place for you. If you'll be faithful unto death, you'll receive the crown. Why don't you open that door? If you've left the door, you've gone the wrong way, you've gotten sidetracked, the door's still open for you to come back, to straighten your life up through repentance. We'll pray for you. If you'd like for us to do that, make your desires known. You can come to the front, and we'll be glad to talk with you about that as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.